not. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I have never seen it. What they've ended up doing is creating one of the greatest political disasters I've ever seen in my lifetime.
He will not be mobbed. Don't touch me. Come on. He will not be mobbed. The greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. No. It would not have been. It would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God.
Be in touch, my love.
Oh, dear. Whoa. Well, okay, now for those who thought that the ending the shutdown was the most interesting part of what happened in Congress this week, there you go. I mean, a stenographer flips out on the floor of the United States Congress and starts screaming about, I don't know, what the hell she did, something to do with God and
the Freemasons.
Freemasons, yeah, where does that come in? My goodness.
She's just flipping out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess, like, you know, the elected officials are not the only ones. Maybe it's something in the air in that place. I don't know.
Oh, you've got the government. How nice. We like that.
Well, hi, how you doing? It is the Rebecca Giroux Show. Thank you for tuning us in, as always. We are live. And I want to start off tonight with a story, well... I mean, you see this and you wonder, it's like, you want to go back and like check the dates. Like, this is 2013, right? Okay. This is, a story that comes to us, from South Carolina, a guy named Todd Kincannon, executive director of South Carolina, former executive director of the South Carolina, Republicans, believes, you ready for this one? Transgender people should be put in a camp. And I don't mean a summer camp where you toast marshmallows either. Talking, you know, concentration camp type situation. I mean, seriously, this guy is like, I mean, he actually said these things. Now, I have to check. Posted the thing. I want to find the original article, because there were some real, oh, here we go, some amazing, amazing tweets from this guy, okay, to the point where you would want to say, is this guy for real, or is he just like, is this some kind of a, you know, performance art or something, or is this guy just making a joke to make a point or something, you know, is this like an Onion-sponsored thing? Here's what he originally tweeted. There are people who respect transgender rights, and there are people who think you should all be put in a camp. That's me. Yeah, he actually said that. Well, somebody apparently responded. And responded and said, wow, you're a pretty evil person for treating others that way. I wouldn't kill you to have compassion for your fellow humans. And he responds, and I'm quoting here, so bear that in mind. I have plenty of compassion for trannies. They should all be locked up in mental institutions and their care paid for by the state. In another tweet, he said, and I quote, I have no problem with gays, but I hate trannies. I think they are disgusting freaks, and they are. Am I evil? In yet another tweet, I'm totally okay with gays, and I celebrate female bisexuality as if it were the Mona Lisa of genital sports. Yeah, no, he actually said that. Wonder how that works exactly. And then he continued, but transsexuals are sick freaks. Lovely guy. And then yet another tweet where he says, the only things I hate these days are commies, trannies, and most Muslims. So I guess there's, like, some good Muslims out there, I guess, you know.
Not the president, though.
Well, yeah, you know. Well, he's not really a Muslim. After all, he's from Kenya.
Oh.
So, you well, come on. Didn't you get the memo on that? He's, you know. Yes. he's a secret Muslim, but he's actually from Kenya because, sure. You know, because somebody in, you know, Louis Gohmert land said so.
Well, everybody knows that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Okay, so this is the level. Okay, I mean, this guy. Okay, and you wonder. You know, you say to yourself, now this guy is not a former elected official, at least not as far as I see here, but he is a former operative of the South Carolina Republican Party. You would think that a guy who was the former executive director, in other words, the Rance Priebus of South Carolina, you would think that, well, you know, a guy like that would avoid saying things that are A, monumentally stupid, B, untrue. Well, it's an opinion, so it can't really be untrue. But C, play right into the correct, of course, perception of the Republican Party as a bunch of asshole racists and bigots. You know, I mean, anybody who turns around who can actually argue with a straight face, okay, I have no problem with gays, but I hate trannies. I think they are disgusting freaks, and they are. Am I evil? I mean, anybody who can seriously write that, and this, right, during a time when Republicans are being blamed, rightly so, for a shutdown that may have damaged the United States economy to the, I mean, for no good reason at all. You know, I have to, you know, you want to ask. I mean, forget about your personal opinion. Aren't you just being stupid? Makes you wonder. Makes you wonder. If this guy actually gives a shit as to whether or not Republicans get elected or not. I mean, seriously. Okay. I mean, how does making comments like that, okay, and these were made, some of them were made in earlier this month, others were made just a couple of days ago. How does this help the Republican Party? I mean, I assume if you're the former executive director of a statewide Republican organization, I mean, call me crazy here, but I'm assuming it works the same way on the right as it does on the left. If you're a major figure in a state political party, isn't one of the first things that you are supposed to do as in that position is not fuck over your own candidates, not make them, you're supposed to make them look better and more attractive and more vote worthy, not less? And here you are at a time when your party has shut down the government, when your party's approval rating is the lowest in recorded history since they have been taking polls on this stuff, and you start spewing stuff like this, you know, it says transsexuals are sick freaks. I mean, you know what? This goes to show you where today's Republican Party really is. Not even Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity goes that far. In fact, I heard Sean Hannity talking about, I forget who it was. It was another transgender person. And he was quite respectful. Referred to her with proper pronouns. Okay, granted, he then launched into a tirade about how hate crimes protections are actually, you know, the invention of the thought police kind of shit. All right, but put that aside. He treated the subject, the woman, the trans woman he was speaking about, he at least gave her the respect. He treated her, he referred to her as a woman with proper pronouns. I remember Bill O'Reilly saying at one point, well, you know, if that's what these people want to do, who am I to say no? Or something, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something along those lines, where he's like, you know, hey, not for me, but you know, not something I'm going to judge. I mean, hell, even Pat Robertson recently said that he doesn't consider trans people sinful. And then you get a guy like this spewing this crap, spewing this bigotry. And you wonder, how can they get away with it? Right? You say, how can this be okay? Well, you know what? I have an answer for you. There's a reason why this can be okay. Because our so-called liberal mainstream media will never cover it. Why shouldn't right-wing political figures slam trans people, issue horrible, disgusting, bigoted tweets into the mainstream? Why should they be worried? It's not like our so-called mainstream spokespeople like Maddow and Chris Hayes and any of those folks are going to bother calling them out on it. They've got nothing to fear from our mainstream media. They only give a shit about gay marriage, remember? I mean, yeah, okay, well, you know, you might get denounced on Melissa Harris Perry, but who cares? That's only on the weekend, so it's not like it's really important. It's important to us. But, you know, I mean, it's not like Maddow is going to ever mention a transgender person. It's not like Chris Hayes is going to mention a transgender person, unless, of course, he's using them at the top of a show segment, getting the crap kicked out of them in Russia, so that then he can go talk about gays and lesbians on his show. You know, so, you know, we're good enough to be sensationalistic fodder, but we're not good enough to actually talk about. So it's not like these folks have anything to be concerned about. You know, the Fourth Estate doesn't bother holding them accountable on these things anymore. It's only the people, the only time that they hold Republicans accountable on bigotry is when the bigotry is directed towards somebody who fit into the most lucrative demographics, the people who buy the Jaguars and the sandals, vacations and the financial services products that you see on MSNBC all the time. Those people, well, you know, you say something bad about gays, well, gays have money, so we gotta speak out against that. We gotta fight for gay marriage. We gotta have these people on and talk about all the bigotry against gay people in Russia. But, you know, well, sorry, trans folks, you don't have the high enough mean income for us to give a shit. And so it falls to people like me to fill in the gaps, to do the reporting, to do the research, to do the media that these folks won't. That these folks are too focused on the almighty dollar to bother. You know, the kind of people who throw around LGBT like it's one word, but never get past the first two letters, like Chris Hayes. Like Rachel Maddow. You know, I mean, seriously, okay? That's the problem. That's why you see this. You see this kind of an attack. Oh, I have no problem with the gays, but I hate trannies. Am I evil? Well, why not? Nobody's going to call you out for it, right? So why not throw that out there? Why not work up your right-wing base? Why not gin up that anti-trans hate? And use it as discrimination to go after people, children in California, which we'll be getting into in a minute. Why not go after those poor kids who just happen to be trans? Why not denigrate them and call them disgusting freaks? After all, it's not like we'll be paying a political price for it, because even the left-wing media, the so-called progressives over at MSNBC, couldn't give a shit whether we live or die. And I know that sounds harsh. I know it does. But you know what? Thomas Roberts and Melissa Harris Perry can't do it all. I have great respect for Thomas Roberts. He was the first one. Even before MHP, he was out there. And we got a story about Thomas Roberts, which is really interesting, which we're going to get into also a little bit later in the show. But, you know, I give full credit to Thomas Roberts. I give full credit to Melissa Harris Perry. Maddow, not so much. Chris Hayes, we're still waiting, dude. Lawrence O'Donnell, Ed Schultz. I mean, these people, you know, it all goes back to that same thing. And I say this a lot on the show. I know, maybe I get a little repetitive. If I do, I apologize for that. But it's the truth. You're getting your news from people who make more money in a single day than you make in a month. These people will never have to worry about where their next meal is coming from. You know, Ed Schultz doesn't have to worry about what he's going to be doing with his family that weekend. He just hops on Ed Force One to go out to North Dakota to do some skeet shooting or some deer hunting at his private hunting lodge. Yeah. This is a man of the people. You know, I mean, shit, Rachel Maddow makes more in an hour than I do in a year. And when you make that much money, when you're that detached from the way real people are living, I mean, why should it surprise anybody that these people have no empathy for those below their own social strata? You know, if you're rich enough to care about gay marriage, because, of course, you already have a job or enough money that you don't have to worry about a job. Well, what do you give a shit, right? I mean, it's the same thing. Again, the only two people who on the entire network who have been proactive about presenting trans people and issues are Melissa Harris-Perry and Thomas Roberts, and they both get kudos from me. Because at least they've made an effort. You know, but that's the thing, because these people are their main goal, and this is the problem. The main goal of MSNBC is not to report the news. The main goal of MSNBC is to make money, to generate profit. And so what they do is they say they're progressive, but in reality, their brand of progressive is stuck somewhere in the latter half of the 20th century.
Don't forget that very progressive Morning Joe.
Oh yeah, he's a real winner. Forgive me, I just actually had a cap fall out of my face as I am talking to you.
Oh well, okay. This might be a good time to have a break then.
Yeah, because I think I need to go put some dental wax in because next time I'll say something with an F in it, I'll shoot it across the room.
What would happen if you inhaled that during your show? That would be a medical emergency.
Well, that would be most, yes, that would be most unfortunate.
I would say that would be a bad thing for sure.
Yes, it would very much be a bad thing.
So I tell you what, let's play a couple of songs here. Everybody who's listening live, let's have an extra musical break. I'll find a couple of good songs. Georgie Jessup is the first one in our break, and then when Becky's ready to come back on, just give me the word and we'll switch.
Okay, I will do that. I'm going to go glue my tooth back in my face, and I'll catch you guys in a few minutes.
All right. And so I'll start looking here for a couple of songs. Yeah, this is Georgie Jessup, and it's John Lennon's Working Class Hero. You know, us John Lennon fans, all us old-timers here, we remember that John's birthday was October 9th. He would have been 73, and the great cover here from Georgie Jessup.
Want to be a hero, then just follow.
All right, folks, producer Mike here, and I'll explain that Becky has had a minor issue with one of her crowns. That's what happens when you're a real good ranter like that. The crown just falls right out of your mouth, and it's a good thing it didn't go the other way down her windpipe or something like that. So I'm playing a couple of extra songs here during our break while she figures out what to do about that. It's excitement like you wouldn't believe. So we're going to have a twin spin from Georgie Jessup. This is 2012.
4, a how. 3, can can.
Sunday, December 23rd, 2012.
This is what I've been told.
I'm going her home. Take a little sunshine.
All right, we are back. It's the Rebecca Giro Show. Thanks for sticking around.
So how are you doing?
I'm all right now that I got my toothpaste back in my face.
So how do you do that, though?
Well, we have this stuff that called dental wax. And what that is it's like soft wax.
Okay.
Soft wax. And it's flavorless and colorless. You just kind of paste it in there.
Kind of gooey.
It holds stuff in place.
Yeah.
So I have to go to my dentist tomorrow, have him paste this thing in. I got a cap replaced a while ago.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, when I was about 13 years old, I broke my two front teeth off on a swimming pool.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And so I have caps. My two front teeth are caps.
Okay. I would never know that.
Yeah, well, there's no reason anybody should.
Great restoration.
And what's funny is the one on the right has been fine. I had it done when I was 13. It's never had a problem. The one on the left keeps falling off. I lost one, and it just fell out one day. I lost it completely. I had to have a new one made. And then when the doctor pasted it in, it kept falling out, falling out, falling out. And then eventually he used this special bonding stuff, and it stayed for 3 months. And then the other day, it fell out again. So I was at the dentist, and I had him paste the thing back in again. He said, should be fine. Call me if you have a problem. And here I am 2 days later this morning. I'm eating breakfast, and all of a sudden, it just pops out in my hand.
Ew.
And I pop it back in, and I figure, all right, it's okay. Because usually when it pops out the first time, you pop it right back in, it usually stays. And then I'm sitting here, and I'm talking to you guys, and all of a sudden, it just flies out of my face. So tomorrow I have to go to my dentist again and get this pasted back in.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Dentists are expensive and generally horrible. I'm speaking from personal experience. My own father was a dentist. He was absolutely insane. He'd be a member of the Tea Party, I suspect.
Well, no, my dentist is actually quite a nice guy and very trans accepting. He's a conservative, but he is like totally cool with the trans thing.
All right. Good.
You know, it's interesting, you know, because a lot of times I think this is true. A lot of times folks who are culturally conservative are not really anti-gay or anti-trans. What they are is they're anti-tax or they're, you know, I mean, they're not really. See, that's where I think the Republicans are starting to lose America. Not on the tax issues, not on the those kind of issues. On the, you know, we're spending too much.
You know, I noticed that most of the representatives and senators who voted against the debt extension and reopening the government are from the South, generally. In general, it's not like the Confederacy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 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 And you know, that's the thing. It's you know, folks up here, yeah, they're culturally conservative, but they don't take it out on individuals, okay? Like the way these people down south where they're like, God told me to hate you kind of people. They don't do that up here. They just don't. They really just don't. And, you know, on the other hand, you know, they'll still vote for the right-wingers, but they don't take that political baggage out into the street with them. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think that's the big difference, is here, people have their attitudes, and, you know, granted, I'm in a very blue state, we just elected Cory Booker, rah-rah, to the United States Senate by a nice 11-point margin. And frankly, I think the only reason that the margin was that small was because it was one of these ridiculous, thank you, Chris Christie, Wednesday election on an off date. I think if this election had taken place on the day of Christie's election, which is in a couple of weeks, number one, I think it would have cost Christie votes. I think he was smart for his own political security to have a different date. But I also think that Lonergan would have been blown out even further than he was. I mean, pretty much everybody in this state knew there was no way in hell that a Tea Party guy is going to become the senator of New Jersey. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. Okay? He is and every bit as much a sacrificial lamb because no Republican in this state wanted to take on Cory Booker. Why spend money and put yourself out there in a campaign, you're virtually guaranteed to lose unless the guy suddenly turns out to be like a mass murderer or something, which ain't going to happen. Okay, it was a done deal. Okay, and it's the same thing. You know what? The same thing is going on with Christie's election with Barbara Bono. Okay, on the other side, the Republican Party cut Lonergan loose and didn't give him any money to fight because he was seen as a lost cause. And the Democratic Party in this state, in New Jersey, is doing exactly the same thing to Barbara Bono. There's like 40 prominent Democrats who have already signed on in support of Christie. They're abandoning her because they see her as somebody who can't win. So why should we bother? You know, guys like George Soros and some of these other, these fucking traitors, these fake Democrats who just, they don't really care about Democratic principles. They care about what's going to pad their wallets the most. I mean, it's really a disgrace the way the Democratic Party has basically abandoned Barbara Bono and said, well, you know, who cares? You know, we're not going to invest money here. It just goes to show you. And you see, in a lot of cases, okay, while certainly Lonergan, I don't think the Republicans wanted anything to do with Lonergan because they knew he was a loser. Barbara Bono, on the other hand, is a major political figure in the state of New Jersey. Granted, she had some name recognition problems, but she was the Senate president at one point. She has been a significant figure in New Jersey politics for many years. This is not somebody who just popped out of the woodwork. This is not somebody who their only political experience was as the mayor of a tiny little town. She's also not a right-wing asshole. But the Democratic Party couldn't be bothered, you know, and it just goes to show you. And you know, I'll tell you something else. Even when these people are already elected and you need Democrats to stand up for you, you know how Democrats stand up? Think of the difference between when David Vitter, Senator, current Senator David Vitter, was busted as being on the list of the D.C. madam. In other words, he was a patron of prostitutes. In other words, a criminal. Well, Republicans lined up behind him, solidified their support, and he's still in office today. When Anthony Weiner, who's as far to the left as Vitter is to the right, got into this stupidity, this idiocy with Twitter, instead of standing up for their colleague, they all cut him loose. All his so-called Democratic allies said, oh, I think he should resign. I think he should resign. So this is, it goes to show you. You see, that's what happens. Up until now, you know, Republicans fall in line behind their colleague, whereas Democrats cut the rope and say, you're on your own, have a nice day. It's pretty much the same thing that Democrats have been doing to the LGBT community for the last couple of decades. You know, unless of course you're like ultra wealthy and you want to get married, then they're your best friend because, you know, there's big checks there to be had. You know, I mean, think about it. Okay, throughout this whole shutdown thing, we hear, oh yeah, and it's gonna be on the you know, we're getting ready for that. And since this shutdown thing took place, has anybody heard anything? Okay, you heard President Obama? Did you hear President Obama talking earlier today about his plans? Said, well, I want to go after immigration reform. I want to do this. I want to do that. Needless to say, jobs, LGBT, and never made it into the conversation. But then, you know, why should now be any different than it was 5 years ago or 4 years ago or 3 years ago or 2 years ago or even a year ago when every single Democratic speaker at the DNCC wound up mentioning how much they support gay marriage and not a single fucking one of them, except for one guy, John Perez, Senate Majority Leader of California, mentioned jobs, our jobs. Everybody is perfectly happy to go and line up and collect that gay money at, you know, at the HRCC marriage money stream. Everybody, all the Democrats, they're very happy to dip their bucket into that stream. But none of them want to come out. Where's Harry Reid? Where's Mr. Big Shot? Mr. Iron Spine? Where is this? Where was he, you know? Everybody says, oh, look at Harry Reid. What a hero he is. What fortitude he showed in standing up to the Republicans. What bullshit. What bullshit. You know what this shows you? You know what this shows you? This shows you the Democrats really can stand up for what they believe in when they choose to. So realize that when Democrats throw you under the bus, when Jay Carney, when Barack Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi start making excuses for why they can't get ENDA done, make no mistake, they are making a political choice to throw you under the bus. They could stand up for you. They're choosing not to do so because it's not to their advantage. It's not convenient for them. And as long as we're waiting for when it's convenient for Democrats, because we are already, let's not forget, we've already seen what happens when Democrats have every single thing that they say they need to get the job done. We saw that 2009, 2010 in the 111th Congress. It's not like we can sit there and say, well, let's see what happens. We don't know what would happen if Democrats got into power. No, we know. We've seen it. We've seen them win the White House, have both houses of Congress with strong majorities. We've seen it. What did we get? We didn't even get a vote. The minute they got the power, the minute they had everything that they told us that they swore up and down they would get the job done, the minute they got all those things, the first thing they did was throw us under the bus and say, oh, well, let's do these other things. Oh, this is really more important. You know, anything except what they promised, what they ran on. Seriously, think about it. I mean, I want to inject some common sense here. If you get somebody who says to you, hire me and I'll get this job done for you, and you hire that person, you give them all the tools they need to get the job done and plenty of time in which to do it, and then you come back and the job's still not done, no effort, not a single shred of effort has been made to get the job done. What do you do? Do you say, oh, okay, well, I guess you need more time? Or do you say, you're fired, get the fuck out, I'm hiring somebody who's going to get the job done? Common sense, people. These people are not doing the job. It's time they were replaced. If Harry Reid can stand up on this, and he can stand up on ENDA, he can stand up on workplace rights, he can stand up on equal rights for all Americans. And if he can't, then he doesn't deserve to be the leader of the Democratic Party, and he needs to be replaced. That's it. That's it. It's time to start putting real progressives, not fake progressives that are progressive only until it starts costing them money, but real progressives into office. The kind of people who are as committed to their values on the left as some of these people are on the right. And I don't mean to the point where they shut down the government, because we all know that's not going to happen with Democrats in charge. They're too common sense. But people who play fair, real progressives, who think of the people that are affected by these laws they're passing first, not how it's going to affect their campaign finance situation, which is what we saw last year. Everybody was all marriage, 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 marriage. Nobody could be bothered to mention our jobs. And yet here are these people come again. I'm sure you get these emails all the time where they come back to you hat in hand. Oh, could you give us more money? Oh, God, John Boehner said mean things about us. Could you give us some more money? Oh, gosh, Chris Christie, more money. You know, I mean, I get these emails literally every day. I swear to God, if these people put one-tenth of the effort that they put into asking us to do for them, into actually doing for us, Endo would have passed 20 years ago. But they can't be bothered. No, 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 that's too much of an inconvenience for the Democratic Party. That's too much of an inconvenience for a president who tells us, even in the face of this ridiculous Congress we have that drives the entire economy, is willing to drive the economy over a bus with John Boehner at the wheel until at the last minute he decides to turn away from the edge. They're still trying to argue to us that this Congress is going to somehow magically turn around and pass ENDA into law. And that's what President Obama is hoping for. Is that seriously an argument that we can find credible? Okay, because you know what? I have my problems with President Obama, but you know what? I think we all can agree. He's a smart man. He's not a fool. He reads the newspapers. He knows more about what's going on in those houses of Congress than we do. And he's going to still trot out his press secretary, Jay Carney, to make this argument credibly. Try to make this argument. Oh, yeah, well, we magically expect the Republicans in the House to pass this into law. I mean, and what's even worse, you know what's even worse? Some of these senators who are going along with it, who are saying, yeah, we think the momentum will carry over into the House. Really? The same House that was willing to crash the economy? The same House where 147 Republicans still voted against reopening the government? The same Congress? That Congress? And then you wonder why we don't find you believable? I mean, seriously. I mean, how stupid do these people think we are? I mean, really. I find it insulting. I mean, if you're going to make an argument that says, well, the reason we can't vote on ENDA this year is, could you at least come up with something credible? I mean, I find it insulting to say, well, the president believes that we have hope that they'll vote on it in the House. I mean, please, they had to drive this country to within an inch of economic disaster before Boehner would even put this bill to save the United States economy on the floor. And this is this is what you're arguing? I mean, seriously? Seriously? And then they wonder why people like me are so critical. Because you know what? When we're there leading the charge, when we say, go, we have faith in you, we trust you, go, go, go. You know what the Democrats hear? They hear, okay, pressure's off, you can go back to fundraising again. That's what they hear. Because we can't take the pressure off, not for one single second. Because the very split second they do, the very split second they do, they go back to normal. That's what happens. And so we can't trust these people. We cannot trust these people. Because, you know, I mean, like I said, if they would at least deal with us intelligently, say, you know, we respect your intelligence, so we're going to give you a real answer. So just, you know, I mean, but to turn around and argue that, you know, to turn around and try to argue that they expect that the president, who has just fought this huge battle, who has been fighting this huge battle for his entire second term actually believes that the Republicans are going to do a 180 on LGBT rights and introduce the bill into law. I mean, and then they wonder why nobody trusts these people anymore. Why should we? What is the, you know, it's like my grandmother, who's since passed away, used to say, what's to trust? I mean, really, why should we trust people who just lie to us? And we know they're lying, and they know that we know that they're lying, but they just go ahead and say it anyway. I mean, let's bring this back into reality land. If you can't sit across a kitchen table from me and tell me something credible and give me a credible answer as to why you're not standing up for me, and then you send out your surrogate to spew lies, absolute falsehoods that anybody who takes the time to analyze what this person is saying knows are lies and does it anyway. And then, why should we trust somebody like that? Would you trust somebody like that if you had somebody like that working for you? Would you trust somebody like that if you were in school and somebody like that was your fellow student or your teacher or your coworker or, you know, I mean, would you trust someone like that if you knew them personally? And if not, why on earth would you trust somebody who is, you know, you'll never meet? I mean, why it fails the sniff test and fails it completely. But the problem is, these people don't seem to care at all. They just say whatever's convenient, not what's correct. And then they wonder, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep calling this stuff out because you know what? I can't trust our president. When my president says something, when my president makes a promise, I can't take him at his word. I have to say, well, let's see what happens. Because I've seen what happens when this president makes promises. You know, he just, well, you know, they don't seem to last past election day. You know, I find it disappointing. This was the guy who we were supposed to, this was the answer. This was the guy. This was the guy. Is this really the best the Democrats can do? Seriously? Oh, my goodness. All right. I am about to burst another blood vessel, so we are going to go to a break. And Mr. Mike is telling me that I need to turn my right knob down a little bit. Let's see how that sounds.
Oh, dear.
So, how's that? Does that sound better, Mr. Mike?
Sounds better. We've had a little thing where our Skype connection has been slightly sketchy today because, you know, just a little distorted. And sometimes sending a little less volume helps that problem. So here we go.
Okay. So coming to you in lovely dulcet tones, it is the Rebecca Giroux Show.
Yeah.
And we are going to go to a quick break. We will catch you in five, gang. Ooh. Ah. It's the Rebecca Giroux Show. Thanks for sticking around. And, well, Another thing I wanted to talk about tonight, we opened, I was talking about, I went on a little bit of a rant about MSNBC, and but, you know, there are times when, you know, somebody does something, and your first instinct is to say, ooh, this is awful, terrible, and then you think about it, and you're not so sure. Another, this kind of situation... it's Thomas Roberts, who is, if you watch MSNBC, he's on, he hosts the 11 o'clock a.m. hour here on the East Coast. So
my favorite on that channel. He is so cute. He's gay.
He's gay. He's very handsome. And he's a great host.
Yeah.
And he also, to his great credit, long before Melissa Harris Perry did it, or was even, in fact, even on the air, on MSNBC, Thomas Roberts was the guy who was the one who would bring the issues that nobody else would talk about, the LGBT stuff, and he was the real activist, even though he's not really a pundit. He's an anchor. That's what he is. He sits at the desk and he talks. Yes, his opinion comes through, but not in the same way as like a Chris Hayes or a Rachel Maddow puts their opinion right up there. He is more, you know, he reports the news, and his opinion tends to come out when he interviews people, and they say things that are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But he did something that, again, at first glance, I was like, whoa, this is, I'm not so sure I'm happy with this. And then I thought about it a little while, and I'm not so sure. I may be changing my opinion. I'd love to know what you think about this. Let me give you the number. It's, what the hell is the number? Oh, my God, I've forgotten it again.
I don't know.
928-277-4921. Now, I'm going to read. Thomas Roberts issued an op-ed today, which ran at the new MSNBC site, which is awesome if you haven't checked it out. But I'm going to read some of this. He said, courage, and I'm starting, this is now Thomas Roberts speaking, courage is contagious. I have felt that way since publicly coming out in 2006. I've never regretted it. This November, I will co-host Miss Universe in Moscow, partly because it is a huge visible opportunity for LGBT people everywhere. I am not a special case. I am a good person, a good spouse, good child, good sibling, good friend, and hard worker. That is me. I am just like millions of LGBT people around the world. We are good, regular, hardworking people who come from solid families. So when I heard there was a chance at this assignment, I aggressively went after it. Lo and behold, the Miss Universe team, NBC Entertainment, and the Trump team agreed and offered it to me. Over the last several months, Russian President Vladimir Putin has approved new homophobic laws for his country. Yes, laws that criminalize and stigmatize lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people and their allies in Russia. These actions attracted worldwide news coverage, with some critics labeling it Russia's dark chapter in the history of gay rights. World leaders have expressed their contempt for these discriminatory laws, with President Barack Obama declaring that nobody's more offended than me. Which, as an aside, I would say, really? You sure have a funny way of showing it, my friend. But let's get back to what Thomas Roberts has to say here. In August, the Miss Universe organization issued its own statement that Russian laws are diametrically opposed to the core values of Miss Universe. I am diametrically opposed to these laws and share in the president's outrage. By the way, I just as an aside, it should be pointed out that Miss Universe is the same pageant in which Jenna Talikova competed last year. Trans woman Jenna Talikova. So, just to give you a little bit of perspective on that. But anyway, let's continue. Thomas Roberts continues. I'm proud of our nation, which still aspires to live up to the promise of its founding fathers. I am unafraid to tell you how traditional my husband and I are after 13 years. We continue to foster and grow our life together with highs and lows, the folly and the fights. The same things many long-term couples experience. Simple things, trash night, dog walks, the remote control, tough things, homophobia, job loss, death. You can't get more traditional than that, and above all, we love each other. So people may wonder, Thomas, how can you accept this assignment? Shouldn't you boycott Russia? I am not going to boycott. Boycott and vilifying from the outside is too easy. Rather, I choose to offer my support of the LGBT community in Russia by going to Moscow and hosting this event as a journalist, an anchor, and a man who happens to be gay. Let people see I am no different than anyone else. All kids, Russian, American, and otherwise, need hope. I am a happy, healthy, gainfully employed, educated, and married man, and yes, I am gay. These new Russian laws won't stop Russians from being born LGBT and growing up to identify as such. Russia's treatment of its LGBT citizens is unacceptable, unrealistic, and promotes homophobia and intolerance for a community that does and will continue to exist. It vaguely resembles, don't ask, don't tell, as a country, we recently pitched DATDT, don't ask, don't tell, into the dustbin of American history. We are too smart for that now. No, we're not, Thomas. We're still denying transgender people the right to serve. So I have to disagree with you there. No, we are still not that smart as a country. We're still doing exactly the same thing. The difference is that nobody in the media is reporting on it anymore. That's the problem. And for that, I think you need to look upstairs in your own building for the answers. For all the respect I have for you, Thomas, some of the people making the decisions at your network, I'd have some hard questions for. So, continuing on, we're almost done here. And here's a sentence that I'm sure many people are going to be gratified to hear, Thomas says. But we still have elected U.S. leaders rallying against marriage equality and the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. History teaches us that these political approaches hurt good kids and people everywhere. Those who need hope, guidance, education, safe space, and yes, LGBT role models. We do them no favors by turning away now. We must be visible, we must show up. As Harvey Milk said, we must give them hope. I go to prove there's hope. Now, I have to say, this is a fair argument, and it is a good argument, and it is an argument that, for the most part, I agree with. However, history has taught us, if we are to use history, I would like to take us back for a moment to apartheid. Remember apartheid? South Africa? Remember that? How did the West put pressure on South Africa to change its laws? Remember, I ain't gonna play Sun City? Economic boycott? Entertainment boycott? People who said, you know what? This is unacceptable to me, and I don't feel comfortable playing or performing or doing business or whatever with a country that treats people that way. I say that that is an equally valid statement. I am not condemning Thomas Roberts for saying I choose to put myself out there. I will never condemn anyone who says that, who says, I think this is the right thing to do, I believe it is in the best interests of my community, and I'm going to do it because I believe that this is right, and that it helps. I will never condemn anyone for that. I will, on the other hand, say, there are other ways to go about it, ways which have been shown to be successful, such as putting political, economic, and entertainment and social pressure on South Africa to change its ways. Now, Russia is not South Africa. South Africa is a tiny little country at the bottom of Africa. Russia is the second largest country in terms of land mass in terms of population in the world, I think. I don't know. Maybe somebody can correct me on that. But it's certainly one of the top three. And I have to admit, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned. Because, you know what? Thomas Roberts is right. This could make a major, great political statement, having a gay man host Miss Universe in Moscow. Or it could prove to be a horrendous completely bad choice. I have visions of Putin saying, "Well, come on, we're not homophobic. We got the gay guy over here hosting Miss Universe. How could we be homophobic?" I mean, seriously, you know, I mean, that's the vision that I have. I mean, think about it. Imagine, forget Russia for a minute. Imagine this was happening in our own country and we were talking about our own conservatives. What would they do? They do exactly the same thing. And so I'm concerned that Thomas Roberts, by doing this, isn't giving Putin and his surrogates more ammunition to argue, "Oh, no, we're not doing it. It's about the children. We're going to protect children." You know, now, the other thing is that, let's be honest, you know, while you and I know that Thomas Roberts is gay, and those who care about MSNBC and follow the people who appear on that network know that Thomas Roberts is gay, who else is going to know unless he says something? Which he obviously is not going to do because he's not there to talk about being gay. He's there to host Miss Universe. So I'm not so sure. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for him professionally. And speaking as somebody who's looking to break into the business, I would never, ever, 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 ever demean or disparage someone for taking advantage of an opportunity to advance their career because I know how tough it is. And so I will never fault anyone for that. But I do worry. I do worry that this is going to be used as political fodder to excuse these laws and to say, "Oh, no, it's just those radicals in the West who are making big hay out of this. It's no big deal. Come on, look, we had the gay guy host the beauty pageant. Come on." I think there's going to be some of that in there. I think that it could be used for political fodder against us. I mean, let's not forget. This is a country currently considering legislation to take away the parental rights of gay parents. Think about that for a moment. This is a country that hates gays and trans people so much that they are willing to take away your parental rights just because you're gay. For no other reason. No crime, no misbehavior, no propaganda, anything, the crap that they have now. No, they want to take away parental rights from loving parents to rip children out of loving arms of their parents because they're gay. Who are we doing, you know, to use Thomas Roberts' phraseology here, who are we doing a favor to when we send a gay man to host Miss Universe? I'm concerned that Thomas Roberts appearing, even though I know full well that it is not his intent, and I've had exchanges with Thomas Roberts. I know he's a good guy. Okay, I will, you know, that is absolutely not in question. He is indeed a good man, and who cares about his community, who goes out of his way to do stuff that I, most of the folks on television never would. And he gets unlimited thanks and kudos from me for being the leader at MSNBC on this. I'm worried about the after effects of this. I worry that this will be used politically to say, "See, It's just those radicals on the far left. They don't really matter. The mainstream knows that we're really that these laws are really done to just to protect the children. See, they even sent the gay man to host the show. Nobody arrested him, so you know, everybody forget about this stuff. Let's all go home and watch some skiing in February. It concerns me. It does. And so, oh my God, my tooth has fallen out of my face again. But you know, I have to ask that question. I have to express that concern because I see what happens here in this country when we have these kind of situations and how our own right wing behaves. And my question is I agree with Thomas Roberts that we must give them hope. My question is, does doing this give them hope or does it take away hope? Does it justify, in some people's minds, voting to take away parental rights? Voting to say, we don't care what kind of person you are. We don't care what kind of parent you are. We don't care about whether you are a law-abiding citizen. We don't care about any of that stuff. But the fact that you happen to be involved romantically and sexually with a person of the same gender as yourself, that's enough for us to take away, to rip your children out of your loving arms. And it scares the hell out of me to consider that Thomas Roberts' good intentions could be twisted to justify that. That's what concerns me. Not Thomas Roberts, not his intent, not any of that, but how it will be received in Russia politically. That's what concerns me more than anything else. Will this truly, as Thomas Roberts suggests, be a help, a justice, a way of moving forward in the LGBT community? Or not? Or will it be something that helps give credence to the other side? Don't forget, Russian government doesn't work like ours. They are not a democracy like we're a democracy. They're just not. Okay, and somebody like Putin can hold a lot more power. Than, say, Barack Obama. President has a lot of power, but his power is limited. There are things he can and he can't do. There are things that Putin can and can't do, but his power is much more extensive. And that's why, like I said, I have unlimited respect for Thomas Roberts. I think he is a treasure on that network. I only wish I could watch him every day, but unfortunately my schedule does not allow me to do that very often. And the fact that our single television in this house is usually in use by somebody watching The View. So, unfortunately, I don't get much of a chance to watch Thomas Roberts when he's live. Although I do watch him on clips. And now, with their new website, watching somebody like Thomas Roberts on MSNBC just became a whole lot easier because they've got all the clips more organized. Although it's tougher. It's tougher to watch like an entire schedule of MSNBC shows. You have to actually work at it. You have to go from show to show now. But I hope that he's right. I really do. Because it would be great if he is. It concerns me greatly that this will translate politically because Thomas Roberts is as prominent a gay figure and an openly gay figure as he is, that this will be perceived by Russians politically as an endorsement. Well, if it's okay with the gay guy from America, it should be okay with everybody, right? You know, that concerns me because, you know, what politicians say is one thing, but it's not about what politicians say. It's about what people believe. And I'm just concerned that this will be seen as an endorsement rather than a repudiation. That's what concerns me. Not Thomas Roberts' intent, not his choice to go do this, but the potential backlash. I think he is on a tightrope, and I think there's a good chance of him making it successfully to the other side. And I think there's also a very good chance of an accident and a damaging one. And that's what concerns me. Is that, yes, this could tamp down enthusiasm for those anti-gay laws in Russia. Or it could gin it up. And we just don't know. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not an expert on Russian political attitudes. You know, I'm just not. And so it concerns me, you know, because we really don't know. You're throwing a rock into a pond, and you're not sure if it's going to land to the bottom and make a few ripples unremarked, or if a giant monster is going to come out and eat you. And that concerns me. It concerns me a lot. So while I certainly hope that Thomas Roberts will be successful, that it will have positive impact, I can't be fully comfortable with this. I mean, I want to be. But I can't help being concerned that there's such a potential that, you know, I don't know what the chances of this being perceived badly in Russia are, but the results, given the politics of the time, given the way the situation is today, I'm afraid, desperately afraid, that the backlash that could result is going to be worse than even what we have seen up to this point. And I hope that doesn't happen, because I don't know, but it concerns me. And I have to believe, you know, we've been through this before as an international community. We struck out against it. We spoke out. We said, you know what? Treating people differently politically because they're black is wrong. And we wouldn't take no for an answer. We wouldn't go. Bruce Springsteen wouldn't play there. You know, remember the song? I think Michael Jackson was part of it back in the 80s. So those of you who are of a certain age probably remember this. But it was a song that said, I ain't gonna play Sun City. Remember that? It was like 20 or 30 different rock stars of the time, and they all sang a line. You know, it was like kind of like a South Africa, We Are the World kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it worked. I mean, you know, granted, you know, there was this little thing called a revolution that also occurred at the same time, but it worked. The political pressure worked. We've shown that when the world withdraws its support, when the world communicates and says this is unacceptable to us and we are not going to participate in it, change can happen. Now, am I saying that Thomas Roberts is going about this the wrong way? I don't know. Possibly. I don't know. And I don't think any of us can know until we see what happens as a result. But I fear for the worst. I fear for the worst. With the politics in Russia, with the politics here in the United States, I fear for the worst. And I hope I'm wrong. I really do, because I would not want Thomas Roberts, or for that matter, MSNBC, or for that matter, NBC, or for that matter, even Donald Trump, to be responsible.
I want to jump in and just note that it's maybe a public relations disaster for NBC, which is covering the Olympics. This is a way of helping them repair their image a little bit. But it also occurred to me, didn't they assign Rachel Maddow to be one of the main anchors for the Olympic coverage? Did you hear about that?
I had not heard that.
I'll find out during our break about that.
Yeah, do. Absolutely. Speaking of which, we are due for a break. So why don't we do that? Why don't we take our break, and we will be back in, what, 5 minutes, Mr. Mike?
Yeah.
All right. See you then.
Damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. The damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. You don't have to say what you did. I already know. I found out from him. Now there's just no chance for you and me. We'll never be. And don't ever.
Let's get out of here. Look, Emerald City is closer and prettier than ever.
Rebecca Giro Show, thanks for sticking around. And I want to talk about something else right now. This is, I don't know, you know, I generally don't report on stuff from, like, you know, things like The Star and National Enquirer and stuff like that. But you never know. Sometimes they score a real scoop. They did with Chelsea Manning. They were the first ones, believe it or not. It turned out to be true. They did score that scoop. Well, here we go with another one. Star Magazine is reporting that Bruce Jenner, you know, Bruce Jenner, the guy who's married to Kim Kardashian, that Bruce Jenner, the Olympic star, wants to be a woman. And he's a trans person. It says, I'll just read this to you, and we can talk about it on the other side. October 2013, Star Magazine cover, Bruce Jenner wants to be a woman transgender crossdresser. In the latest proof, it is now impossible to walk away from a Kardashian marriage quietly. The new Star Magazine cover is claiming Bruce Jenner wants to be a woman, and his estranged wife, Kris Jenner, is threatening to expose his darkest secret if he doesn't handle the split the way she wants it handled.
I think she already did.
Yeah. MediaTakeout.com has a quote from the article in which Kim Kardashian allegedly found some feminine unmentionables. Unmentionables? Do they still use that? In Bruce's closet. What is this, 1938? Kim Kardashian asked the housekeeper if she'd seen any lingerie, and the housekeeper said it was in Bruce's closet. So Kim went inside Bruce's closet and found tons of expensive lingerie that was all stretched out. She took it all and left. What, the guy can't find his own size? I don't get that one. But okay, I mean, you know, this is a very wealthy man. I mean, you know, he can have this stuff custom tailored, you know? Kim told Bruce she had his lingerie. He turned red and walked out. When Kim finally told her sisters, it became a running joke that Bruce wears lingerie. A second source also claims to be aware of Bruce's penchant for women's underthings. He's always been feminine, so it doesn't surprise me when I found out he was a crossdresser. The Star magazine cover claims Bruce has more dresses than Kim in his Malibu home, and implies that Bruce's penchant for wearing women's clothing and apparently wanting to be a woman is why she said recently, I should have never have divorced Robert Kardashian. Let's see. Perez Hilton, oh God help me, slightly as an additional slightly less shocking quote from the Star article that reveals Bruce's other feminine characteristics. It says Bruce has a feminine side. He likes growing his hair out, likes getting manicures and pedicures, and won't leave his house without his diamond earrings. And he's obsessed with plucking his eyebrows. Chris told Bruce that she will reveal his secret if he doesn't go along with her plans about their split or their show. Didn't know they had a show, but okay. It should be noted that not only is the Bruce Jenner cross-dressing story nothing new, but it's nothing new for Star Magazine. In January of 2012, the tabloid ran another Bruce Jenner is a cross-dresser story after talking with Robert Kardashian's ex, Ellen Pearson. Pearson told the magazine at the time she was having drinks with Bruce Jenner's first wife, Christy Crownover. And Christy revealed that Bruce secretly liked to wear women's clothing, including dresses, shoes, and lingerie. Of course, Bruce was every woman's heartthrob when he was that age, right? Ellen asked Christy of the Olympic decathlete.
Some of us guys.
Yeah. But Christy said, yeah, until I went on a trip and I came back and he had gone through all my clothes and I found my bras, he clipped them together and wear them. Christy would later divorce Bruce after having two children together. Ellen said, Kris Jenner was a bit more forgiving of Bruce's fashion fetish, but the same could not be said for Kris's daughters. Chloe called her dad and said she was very upset, crying and screaming about it. How do we reach the point where this is not news anymore? I mean, who? Don't get me wrong. I mean, but who gives a shit? Honestly, I mean, seriously. So the guy likes to wear dresses, and he is a guy. Unless he tells us otherwise, he's a guy. Okay, if he does a Chelsea Manning and says this is who I am, blah blah blah, that's another issue. But he hasn't done that. This is a guy who more than likely has a fetish for women's underwear, women's clothes, likes to dress up. So what? Who's being hurt here? You know, the only reason this is even an issue, seriously, the only reason that this is an issue is because he's Bruce Jenner, famous guy, married to famous woman with famous daughters. That is the only reason why this is an issue. If this was Bruce Jenner, local auto shop mechanic, you would never hear about this. I mean, this is part of the problem with the media. This is the kind of coverage we get. Okay? You know, if the guy is, turns out the guy's transgender, well, more power to him. I like to look good in a nice dress too, but of course I don't consider myself a man. But none of that is relevant, really, because that's about me. It's about how what I think and how I consider myself and how I see myself and whatever. This guy, I mean, you know, what's the difference? I mean, we're talking about a guy who lives in frickin' Malibu. You know, I mean, it's not like we're talking about an area of the country with a shortage of cross-dressers. Yeah, I mean, seriously, how far from West Hollywood is that? You know, not really familiar with Southern California geography very much. But, I mean, come on, people. You know, I mean, haven't we grown up about this shit yet? I mean, nobody's being hurt. And yet, I mean, Bruce Jenner, I mean, the guy is like, I mean, he's almost, the only reason this guy ever appears in the media anymore is because of his family, who he's married to, what they, you know, these women, you know. I mean, I think that a lot of these freakouts are about, oh my God, how will this make me look? Will this make me look bad if this other person is found out to be a transgender person? Well, you know, you want to just say, grow the fuck up. Please, please, just grow the fuck up. somebody wants to walk around their house in a dress, somebody wants to go out to a club in a dress, who's to say? I mean, just get over it. And you know what? Part of it is also Bruce Jenner. I mean, if he's found out that it's true and that did he, whatever, get over it. Because, you know, I mean, you're going to let your wife use that as a tool to divorce you? I mean, really, it's not like this guy, it's not like Hollywood casting directors are breaking down their doors looking to hire this guy. I mean, he's an ex-Olympian, you know, and I mean, you know, his time is over. I mean, he had his moment of notoriety, and it's over. He's not, you know, I mean, seriously, I think this guy should, I think he should do whatever the hell he pleases, and I think people should leave him alone.
Well, Lord knows he's old enough now. He's 63, and obviously it's a time in life when maybe he might want to make some changes. How about that?
Right, and if so, more power to him. I mean, really. But, you know, and I'm not going to be the one to say, oh, he should come out and start living full time and blah, 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 blah. Because
yeah.
If that's not what he wants, who are we to say otherwise?
And whatever is working for him.
Yeah. Now, I want to also cover, because we're starting to run short on time, so there's another thing I wanted to cover tonight. I thought this was just amazing. This comes to us from Think Progress, Zach Ford, who's great. I love it. I love Zach Ford. We're going to have him on the show one of these days. I just haven't gotten in touch with him yet. But Zach Ford from Think Progress, this is anti-LGBT group admits it invented a story about a transgender student harassing classmates. Conservative media has been quite exercised this week by a story about a transgender student at Florence High School in Colorado allegedly harassing girls in the locker room. The Pacific Justice Institute, a California-based LGBT group, spurred the media focus by sending a letter to the school demanding accommodation for the supposed victims. Kristen Williams at the Trans Advocate debunked the story by speaking directly with Superintendent Rhonda Vendetti, who explained that no harassment took place. A few parents just don't like that a transgender student is being allowed to use the locker room of the gender with which she identifies. And we have actually a clip of Kristen talking to that superintendent. Let's give it a run, Mr. Mike.
A legal organization, an ideological legal organization, has threatened lawsuit.
Right.
A legal organization, an ideological legal organization, has threatened lawsuit.
Right. No, and ethically, yeah. And I think you expressed all of our concerns. Nothing has actually been verified with us. This is one parent basically bringing their viewpoint about this situation to the media because they weren't getting the responses that they hoped they would get from the district, from parents and students at the high school, or from the board and myself. So I think it's just an attempt to elevate the situation to a point where maybe some more attention can be drawn to that, and in the hope of having a different outcome. But, to our knowledge and based on our investigation, none of those things have actually happened.
Yeah. So basically, what happened here was the Pacific Justice Institute basically put out this thing that said that this transgender girl was harassing girls in the bathroom. Now, of course, part of this came through Kathy Brennan, according to Zach Ford, a mouthpiece who we know is a well-known anti-transgender troll, mouthpiece for a fringe group of transphobic feminists who do not believe trans people exist. Any attempt to recognize or respect them is an attack on all women. Well, I wonder, do they think that trans men are an attack on all men? Of course, they never mention that, but, you know, they're about as credible as the Tea Party, so that'll tell you something. Now, the message she delivered to Trans Advocate on behalf of the Pacific Justice Institute is, we've seen many similar claims. It was our position that the intrusion of a biological male into a restroom for teenage girls is inherently intimidating and harassing. We have received additional reports of a particular instance of harassment. We are working to corroborate those reports. In our letter, we specifically asked the school to notify us immediately if they disputed any of the factual allegations. To date, they have not done so. The core of this story that the school is elevating the rights of one self-proclaimed transgender student while minimizing the privacy rights of all biologically female students has not been seriously controverted. We encourage journalists to continue their important work of investigating the details of the story independently and not simply accepting the statements of either side, and certainly not pulling their stories because activists demand the story be silenced. Apparently, PGI staff attorney Matthew McReynolds, who drafted the letter was sent to the school, similarly explained the case to Alec Torres at the National Review. And there's a quote from there. It says, Matthew McReynolds, staff attorney for the Pacific Justice Institute, told me that the core issue is that this school is giving transgender youth full access to both boys and girls facilities, and they are showing little, if any, regard for the privacy rights of other students. We have received blah, blah, blah. It's the same shit. Okay. We are, and they also say, we are standing by our allegations that our student clients have been threatened with retaliation by school officials for talking about this, including the threat of being kicked off athletic teams. School officials have also thrown around the notion that hate crimes could be charged against students for just talking about this. Now, as you just heard in that clip, it's all bullshit. Okay, so in other words, as Zach Ford says, I agree with him here, as far as the Pacific Justice Institute is concerned, it doesn't matter if the transgender student actually did anything to harass these girls. Simply entering the girls' locker room, she was inherently intimidating and harassing the other girls who use it. And further, even though PGI's claim of actual harassment have been debunked, thank you, Kristen Williams, who does an awesome job over at Trans Advocate. This is far from the first time she has debunked something like this, and kudos to her for keeping them honest. The group still insists that the story is true because they sent a letter about it and the school didn't reply, which it has no obligation to do. Pacific Justice Institute's embrace of blatant LGBT positions is not new. They wholeheartedly promote ex-gay therapy, believing homosexuality is caused by sexual abuse. And they even filed a lawsuit challenging California's ban on ex-gay therapy for minors. They lost, of course. It's California. Hello. They're also working to repeal California's new law protecting trans students, eagerly seeking victims like the one they are trying to invent in this Colorado school. To go further on, actually, Kristen Williams, who, of course, as I mentioned, is over at Trans Advocate, excuse me, had a piece on this, and you just heard what she said, and what was interesting to me, let me see, there was something there. I want to see if I can find this, because there was a great piece from one of this kid's classmates, and I thought it really said something very well, because it invites you get to hear a perspective that is always ignored in these situations, and that is of the students who are supposedly being made to feel uncomfortable. You get a bunch of adults telling children what they should think and feel, and what they do think and feel regardless of the facts, you know, and I'm still looking for this thing. And nobody takes into account, well, what did the kids actually say? You know, how do the kids that you claim to be protecting, whose privacy you claim to be standing up for, how many of those folks are really, you know, are they really upset? You know, for some reason I'm unable. Oh wait, I think I found it. Okay, wait a minute here. Okay. There was a statement by one of these people's classmates, at Florence High School, a girl, and she wrote this, and I thought this was pretty cool. As a Christian girl who attends FHS, Florence High School, where this took place, I'd just like to say that I've never been harassed by this individual, nor have I ever seen him harass anyone else. He's actually shy and a nice person. Do I think he should be able to use the girls' bathroom? I'm torn. He uses our bathroom and makes maybe 30% of the girls uncomfortable, or he uses the boys' restroom and gets beat up. I don't feel uncomfortable by him. Also, there are a lot of holes in this story. No parents initially complained. There was a mass Facebook message that included 150 students and parents outing him publicly. It was such a big deal, all electronic devices were confiscated if seen that day. Then it was a problem, and parents complained. This boy wasn't treated fairly. As a Christian, I had to put the truth out there. He didn't hurt or harass anyone. Our entire world needs Christ, my school definitely included, and I will stand up for Christ as well as be kind to all of Christ's creations, just as he would. Now, of course, I'm not a Christian, and I don't buy into any of that, but obviously she is, and more power to her. She's using Christianity as a call to do good, as a call to brotherhood, as a call to support your fellow human being. She is calling upon the positive aspects of Christianity, not the bigotry of saying, you're not like me, therefore you shouldn't have the same rights as I do. I don't like it, so you shouldn't have it. The way the administration of the Catholic Church does. It tries to involve themselves in politics. I think that if the Christian Church, if the Catholic Church, or any other church wants to involve themselves in politics, they have every right to do so. But then you give up your tax-exempt status because you're no longer a church. You're a political advocacy organization. So if you want to go and preach the word of God in political sphere, you have every right as an American to do that. But you don't have the right to do it on the taxpayer dime, because then you're a politician. Sorry. That's what I think. You want to get your church involved in politics? Be my guest. Give up your tax-exempt status, and you're welcome to do so, because then you have the right. If you're not going, you know, that's the way I feel about it. Look at that. We're running low on time. Let's see. Oh, well, here's one more story. We'll see if we can get through this. There's a transgender woman in Colorado who was suing because she was denied a free breast exam because she's not genetically female. Transgender woman is suing for the right to have free breast cancer screenings after being turned away at a clinic for not being genetically female. Jennifer Blair, 62, from Colorado, had gender reassignment surgery more than a decade ago, takes a daily dose of doctor-prescribed synthetic estrogen. After noting an unusual breast growth, Ms. Blair, who does not have health insurance, went to Planned Parenthood Center in Denver for a mammogram. She was turned away. Basically, she was turned away because she was not born a woman. Yeah. And you know what? Just so you know, there is nothing in the Affordable Care Act that will prevent these people from doing exactly the same thing. In other words, transgender people are no better off than we were before Obamacare. Really not. Yeah, okay. We're better off in the sense that we get the same benefits as straight people do. You know, they can't throw our kids off until they're 26, and you know, being a woman is not a pre-existing condition, and those kind of things. But as far as like having our right to proper medical care protected, don't look to the Affordable Care Act for that, because we ain't getting shit out of that. Because once again, as usual, the Democrats tossed us under the bus to make things easier on themselves. You know, of course, you're going to hear your usual D.C. Activists saying, oh, how this was so important and rah, rah, rah. But in the meantime, you know, discrimination will continue unabated for transgender people who try to get proper medical care. And I was told by people like, you know, so-called progressives at Planned Parenthood, you know, and this will continue on because there's nothing in the Affordable Care Act that will prevent it. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Yes, be sure to remove your clothing when you get home. And, you know, your shirt has a large tire track that says property of Democratic Party on your back. You know, be sure to check that out when you get home because you've just been run over by the Obama machine again. It makes me nuts because I want to like this guy. I want to support this guy. And every time he keeps doing shit that pisses me off. Every time, whenever there's an opportunity to help trans people, he can't be bothered. It's too difficult. We're always the last to get noticed and the first to be kicked off the bus. So when you go to your doctor, when you try to seek health care and you're denied basic health coverage under the Affordable Care Act because you're a transgender person, remember who you have to thank for it. Just remember. Just remember who wrote that bill. Your good buddy, Barack Obama, and his Democratic friends in Congress. Rah fucking rah. All right, that is about it for us tonight. It is the Rebecca Juro Show. We will be repeating this show in all its magnificent glory in about a couple of minutes after we say goodnight. I want to say, as always, thank you to the amazing Mr. Mike Scott for twisting my knobs and twirling my buttons so I can twist and twirl yours. And we will catch you all next week live, I hope. And we'll see you then. Have a good night, everybody.